is not sitting on this case. And with that, Mr. Huff, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honors. I represent the appellant, Terry's Legacy, LLC, sole proprietor of the LLC, Terry Justin's business for inheritance. This action, Your Honor, started as a result of a tax sale on March 7, 2011, where the plaintiff, Dare Asset Management, purchased a tax sale certificate in a rather unique circumstance out of Cheyenne County, Nebraska. I believe it's a case of first impression, and ironically enough, likely a case of last impression before this statute has subsequently changed by the legislature. The manner in which Adair Asset Management purchased the tax sale certificate in this situation was they elected to go into what the treasurer's office in both Scottsbluff County and Cheyenne County referred to as a bid-down process under Nebraska Revised Statute 77-87. That basically results in the first several assignment of errors that we have issued before this court.
Well, in the bid down process, what did your client think he was buying or bidding on when he was in the bid down process?
Well, it was not my client that was in the bid down process, Your Honor. Talent, your asset. But to answer that question, during the bid down process, the Cheyenne County Treasurer explained the rules of the bid-down process when Adair elected to go into that, basically informing Adair that the bid-down process would result in an equal amount of reduced part of protection or reduced lien or reduced ownership in the end, resulting in the amount of the bid-down. And Adair, in light of that, went ahead and bid this property down to a 1%.
Counsel, do you think it makes any difference what the treasurer told the people at the sale? Isn't this governed by the language of the statutes as they existed at the time?
Yes and no, Your Honor. I think the sale conducted in the manner in which the treasurer's conducted it, both in Scottsbluff County and Cheyenne County, becomes a contract.
Do you think they have the authority to vary from the statutory procedure?
Well, I don't think that either one of the treasurers varied from the statute.
So, aren't we back to what the statute means?
In virtually all respects, yes. Other than I think what the treasurers established would be similar to a farm auction or an estate auction or any kind of auction, terms of sale that are established at the time of the sale, and certain things as we'll only accept cash, you have to have certified funds. A lot of times, those types of things are announced at the time of the sale. Adair Asset, in both, I think it's Exhibits 13 and Exhibit 14, which were the affidavits from the Scottsbluff County Treasurer as well as the Cheyenne County Treasurer, there's tax sale certificates attached to both of those where Adair had representatives of both of those tax sales, which occurred on the same day, with the same advisory that was given by the treasurers in both circumstances as to the result of the sale. The appellee in this circumstance, Your Honor, concedes in their brief that a 1% interest bid down, if this were a treasurer's deed, would result in 1% ownership interest in this property. They concede that, I think, on pages 6 and pages 10 of their brief. Plaintiff's counsel also, in February of 2015, testified before the unicameral, making a very similar statement. When the law was in the process of getting abolished for the bid-down process, recognizing that a bid-down that they had engaged in would result in a reduced lien interest, reduced ownership interest, and would result in a potential partition situation down the road where the actual ownership of the property would have to be petitioned. So the plaintiff has conceded several times, if we go get a treasurer's deed, the result is we get 1%. And as a result of that, what the plaintiff did or the appellee did in this situation is they tried to execute a foreclosure action to somehow mechanically increase their 1% to 100%, which is what the trial judge did in this situation. And if you look at the trial judge's memorandum order, in nowhere in it did the trial judge address 77-1807 bid down process. Nowhere does the trial judge recognize that this was a 1% situation. Nowhere did the trial judge determine what the other 99% that should still be held by Terry's legacy, what happened to it. And the other thing that the trial judge did not do is recognize the deed of trust that is held by First State Bank of $300,000 against this piece of property. Essentially what happened to that. Basically, the trial judge, Your Honors, respectfully ignored the statute, ignored the bid down, and granted a foreclosure for the appellee in a 100% lien interest. And the appellee...
Did you have an opportunity to pay off the taxes and redeem the property?
There is that opportunity built into the statute, Your Honor. Obviously, as part of the record for this court, the appellant in this matter has posted bond at this time in the amount to satisfy those taxes. But the primary issue here today is the effect that this had on the appellant and their ownership interest, the effect that it had on their lender, essentially wiping out the appellant's ownership interest, wiping out his lender's security interest in this property when Adair Asset Management knowingly...
Wasn't your remedy to pay off the taxes?
That is a remedy available under the statute, Your Honor. But Adair Asset Management went into this situation knowingly, intelligently, made a conscientious choice to bid this property down. I suspect to deter other bidders from bidding at the tax sale. They engaged in this bid down process. And it's unfair and unjustly enriches the Adair Asset Management to now give them 100% interest when they knowingly went into this with 1% interest.
Does the record tell us how the math would work out on this, or is it premature to know? If we assume that your interpretation is correct, and all they have is a 1% interest in the real estate, is the 1% enough to cover the taxes, both the original tax sale and the subsequent ones that were paid?
It's really not clear as to the value of the real estate in the record. There's some evidence at the motion for new trial as to valuing the evidence, which would be insufficient to cover the 1% and insufficient to cover the deed of trust in the first half. But the actual value of the property, the ability to do that, somewhat difficult. Last issue I bring to the court, which is our second issue that we brought to the court.
I hate to take your time, but it strikes me from some of the questions, I'm wondering about mootness of this. If you posted a bond that will ultimately be used to pay the taxes, isn't it going to come out the same no matter what we do?
Not necessarily, Your Honor, because my client could elect, depending on the ruling outcome of this court, to allow the decree of foreclosure to proceed the process.
If you were to prevail and they, in essence, had a decree for 1% to let it go to a sale, is that?
Exactly. The only real purpose in the bond, at least from my point of view, the way I see it, is it stopped Adair Asset Management from proceeding with this decree of foreclosure while this case is being
proceeded. If it proceeded, then what would be the, how would it shake out? Who would own what?
Well, from the way the decree was drafted, Your Honor, it would appear that whoever the purchaser is would own the entire property, because the trial judge didn't address the 1%, did not address the 90%, and did not address the trust from First State Bank.
So your argument is this would proceed, or this should proceed, to a sale of 1% of the property?
Correct. That the 99% would continue to be maintained and owned by Carey's Legacy LLC, and that 99% would continue to have the $300,000 deed attached to it.
That wouldn't seem to be a very effective statutory way to get people to pay their taxes, would it?
I believe that's why the statute was abolished.
Or attracted to a buyer.
Correct. And I see that I'm out of time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is it Ms. Woloka?
Yes.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, Dina Woloka on behalf of the Appalachian Adair Asset Management. We're not here today because the appellant is challenging the assessment of the taxes on his property, and we're not here because he's claiming that the treasurer erroneously sold these taxes. We're here today because the appellant is asking this court's assistance in him not paying his taxes.
You're trying to figure out how to get your money back with interest, aren't you? Isn't that,
well, and that's where the statute was designed, Your Honor.
Well, when you say that, what is the policy reason behind this
bid down
process? I'm having a hard time understanding.
The way the bid down was designed was to create an auction at the sale to make the sale more competitive to get a purchaser of the certificate, not of the property. Because if you look at all the case law says that the certificate does not deed any property interest to the certificate holder. What it deeds to them is a future interest in that property and an immediate lien against the entire property.
Well, now let's talk. That's jumping a little quickly there. The statute, and specifically the one about the certificate, 77-18-18, as it existed at the time, talked about acquires a perpetual lien of the tax on the real property.
Correct.
But you have to then read the real property in the context of the way it's used, not only in that section, but in 77-18-07. And doesn't it talk about the real property?
Well, in 77-18-07, it does say percentage of the real property, but I think you also need to look at 77-18-31, which is the process that a certificate holder would use if they wanted to apply for a treasurer's tax deed. And under that statute, it says in there that it's of the property so purchased. So the limiting language that's in 1807 is also in 1831, but it's not in 1818, nor is it in 1902.
I guess that what I'm finding the best way of articulating your opponent's argument, it seems to me, is that in interpreting the statutes, both 1807 and 1818, because at this point, all we're talking about is what's acquired in a certificate.
Sure.
The phrase, the real property, is used consistently through both of them. And it seems to me that the standard rule of statutory interpretation, when the legislature uses the same words in two different statutes involving the same subject, they're presumed to mean the same thing. And I'm having trouble with your argument that seems to say, no, it doesn't in this instance. You bid down to a 1%, but somehow you acquire a lien on 100%. And that's where my trouble with your argument
Well,
is.
I think you also need to look at 1818 that mentions the lien. The lien is on the real property. And in 1807, it doesn't mention the lien at all. It talks about actually purchasing the property. And the lien is not mentioned until 1818.
But what you're buying at the auction in 1807 is the real property.
Well, but the case law doesn't say that. If you go back to Grant versus Bartholomew, the case law says that a certificate owner is purchasing an interest in the property and the lien that's held by the county.
Well, what's the purpose of the bid down if it doesn't define what interest you're going to take in the property to secure your tax payments? In other words, when you say, I'm going to pay all the taxes on this property for a 1% interest because some other bidder wasn't willing to reduce their interest in the property to that amount.
Well, Your Honor,
then when you go to a tax foreclosure, you can buy the property for the liens, amount of the money you paid on?
And that's an interesting point, and that's part of the point that we're trying to make in our brief, is that when a certificate holder does proceed under 1902 and forecloses on the lien, they're not acquiring an interest, any interest in the property.
Who's they?
The certificate holder. Because that property is going to go to public auction, and they have to bid against it just like anybody else would. So if they're going to acquire ownership of that property, it will occur at that sheriff's sale. It doesn't occur over under 1807, whereas a certificate holder who chooses to pursue a treasurer's tax deed, that's where they get their interest.
But all of a sudden at the foreclosure, your 1% interest from the tax deed morphs into a 100% interest of the property as a whole?
Well, but the certificate holder gets under 1902 is their taxes they've paid, their interest, the statutory costs, and the attorney's fee if they ask for it. Any excess over there, and we should assume that the property is going to sell for market value, whatever that equity is.
You mean if you're under the 1900
correct.
Series?
Right.
Okay.
It's going to assume for market value, and then that equity is there for other lien holders or goes back to the property owner.
But you claim your lien is superior to any other lien holder.
Well, right, but they can send the next bite up. We would be satisfied because what's owed in the taxes is nowhere near what the market value of the property is. So there's all that equity out there, generally. Sometimes that happens, but especially in this case, it's nowhere near that. So that excess equity would go to the First Bank. And if it paid their lien, then it would go back to Mr. Jessen.
So what is the difference in the bid down? I presume you start at 100 and you just work your way down. In this case, I don't think we know what the bids were other than you ended up at
1%. I believe that was for the record.
Whatever, there must have been some other bidder or you wouldn't have gotten to 1%. I think that's a fair inference, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so what's the difference in outcome between someone who bids the 2% and someone who bids 1%? The way I'm hearing your argument is it's just because the other person happened to be the luck of, or you happen to be the luck of, well, we get 1% last, and you can't go lower than 1, so we get the whole thing. But the 2% person, if they've been the lowest, they would have gotten the whole thing. Isn't that what you're arguing?
If you go under 1902, absolutely. But, you know, the certificate holder has 3 years to decide which avenue to proceed, and you know, this court has said in Nguyen versus Ewing that it's their decision. And then the property owner has to live with that decision. And there may be a case where 2% of the property is worth what the taxes are. And so in that case, it might be better to take the treasurer's tax deed and then do a partition action.
Do we know from this record what the value, how the math would work out? I asked your opponent that question. And
we know what the taxes were and what the judgment was in the decree, but I don't believe from the record, I don't think anything was put forward of what the value of the property was. Other than, you know, several acres of farmland in Cheyenne County.
Thank you.
Your Honors, there are no disputed facts in this case.
What do you claim you own?
We own a lien against 100% of this property in Cheyenne County. And we are asking that the court affirm the judgment of the district court. And if there are no more questions, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. So we will go on to the next case of the day, which is Chirkababa versus Albatross Express, LLC.